Eric Clancy, welcome.
Hi, Julia. It's great to be here.
You've been hooked on music and playing jazz piano since you were a kid, Eric, and you turned that passion into profession. Would you tell us why it has you so hooked?
Some of it was by accident. I don't know that I necessarily even sought out to become a musician. I actually studied history and philosophy in school, but I got into music and I played through college and I found I could do it as a profession. And I always enjoyed it, always loved it. And I've always had what I call a private relationship with the piano, where I'm not necessarily even playing for other people sometimes. I just sit down and just play and just see what happens with it. And jazz is the closest music that allows that kind of process to happen. And so I guess in that one way, you could categorize me as a jazz musician, but I certainly wander into a lot of other styles of music.
And love it all.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Some say it's impossible to make a living solely on music in a town the size of Fort Wayne. So how do you do it?
Well, now I teach. Teaching is a significant part of it. Another part of it is doing recording session work for various people, projects, everything from hold music to background music to music for museum exhibits to music behind videos, that kind of thing. And I do a good bit of that professionally and then for various musicians and people across the country. So most of my business in Fort Wayne, I'd say, really extends outside of Fort Wayne as well into sometimes Chicago, South Bend, Indianapolis, Ohio. At one point in time, I actually was trying to do full-time music in Fort Wayne, just music and not teaching so much. And I found I had to travel quite a bit to do that.
Well, it's good that you can stay right in your own backyard, so to speak, and make it all work by adding the teaching. And as a matter of fact, performing versus teaching. You're really good at both, well-known for both, sought after for both. What do you get from each one of those?
Oh, that's a great question. I think for performance, of course, there's something great about performing. And oftentimes I'm supporting somebody else. You know, I'm backing a singer or backing a band. And sometimes it's under my own name and I'm doing my own thing. Performance is a different kind of process than teaching. With teaching, you're really focusing in on what the student wants and trying to get them where they want to go. And in performance, you kind of get to choose where you want to go. And so they're very different processes, for sure, but both rewarding in different ways. I'm very fortunate to do both.
Would you say that both affect your own musical journey?
Oh, yeah. The teaching thing enhances the performance because you're going through basics and fundamentals so much and talking about big concepts that maybe I never even thought about until I had to teach them. And then performance-wise, by performing, you oftentimes encounter a problem that has to be solved. And then you later that shows up in a lesson you're teaching and you're able to talk about it. So they inform each other for sure.
Interesting. And where does composing fit into your world?
Well, that's a good question, too. I've often thought that I was a sort of a natural composer as a jazz musician because I like to just sit down and just play. But for me, composing is editing all of that because I can sit and just make a lot of sound and a lot of music. But for me, composition is editing. And so that requires going back to something I've just played and coming up with a direction for it. I had the privilege once of studying for a little while with the great Ron Barber, who died a few years ago. And he told me that I needed more direction. He said I was too much of a sideman and too pliable. He said, you need direction. You need to have your own deliberate ideas about where you want to go and where you want to take things. And so I took that to heart, and I've been trying to live that in the last few years and have some direction for my own.
Good for you. You're also known for your unique arrangements of other composers' jazz works. Is this a natural amusement, if you will, or the result of playing so much good jazz?
I think so. I think of jazz as arrangement. You know, most people think of jazz as soloing over an arrangement, and that is a style of jazz. But I always think of jazz as actually looking at a song and saying, let's pretend I've never played it. What would I do and where could it go? Even if I've played it a million times, it's fun to take something and rearrange it on the spot. And so, again, arrangement to me is a conscious decision where maybe I'm editing some of what I would normally just do. If I sit down at the piano, I might substitute a bunch of chords over a common chord progression. But if I'm arranging, I'm going to be more thought out about that process and try to do a more concise job and say what it is I want to say about it.
And a lot of what you just explained, as well as your talking about your own composing, that falls under the category of improvisation, which is certainly key and critical to jazz, especially as a genre.
Yeah.
So you're taking that actual skill, then refining it or redirecting it in this way.
It's not clear to me where composition starts and improvisation leaves off or vice versa. That's a difficult thing. But I guess I think of composition as improvisation that I've had to go back to edit, to refine.
Certainly makes sense. Now let's talk about the Big Apple Jazz Club's Second Sunday series, because it affords musicians like you to do a little of, well, everything you do, everything we've just talked about.
Yeah.
You're going to be teaming up with Brian Nellums and Michael Patterson for this session, but it is your show. What are you going to bring to the table?
Well, I plan to bring some original music, first of all. I've written several tunes, and I've done several arrangements over the years, and I'm planning on bringing those to light. We all have sort of different styles we can play, and the nice thing about this series is it gives you the ability to be free, to kind of go wherever you want to go and not feel like you have to bow to the pressure of a particular room, or you're not playing as background music necessarily, or
not even a formal concert.
Yeah.
They regard it as a dialogue.
Yeah. And I also have plans for our audience participation. Since I do like to arrange on the spot, I'm actually planning on offering an opportunity where everyone can pick, not necessarily the chords, but some of the notes, and then demonstrate how we can take that and make that into something and shape it.
That's really enticing.
It'll be fun. I'm
thinking
really
of going,
looking forward to it.
For sure. It must be an honor to kick off the season for this series. What's it like to have a big city opportunity like this?
Oh, it's once in a lifetime. I'm extremely blessed to be doing what I do and to be able to play with the caliber of musicians and to be in a market like Fort Wayne that offers so much. You know, it really is a special opportunity.
For musicians and music lovers alike, I have to say.
Oh, absolutely. Good point. Good point.
And what does the series venue of Undercommer Company add to the experience, do you think?
Well, I think they enrich the whole experience. Music appreciation, I won't just say jazz appreciation, because I think it goes beyond that quite a bit. And jazz is just one layer of what we're all doing, you know. But if you just say music appreciation and seeing opportunities for musicians to be able to come and create and do their thing, and for an audience and people who love music to be able to experience it, is really a special thing.
Another good point. Fort Wayne seems to be well above average in its variety of supported musical genres and maybe enthusiasm in general. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's a good-sized city. It's got proximity to Chicago and to Indy and to some larger markets. And I think that helps. Honestly, I think one of our best-kept secrets is our Philharmonic. I feel like the Philharmonic here has enriched the jazz community in a lot of ways. There's several members of the Phil that also play jazz. And a lot of the people that go out to the Philharmonic shows then come out later and hear us playing somewhere else. So those kinds of things, having a rich musical, cultural background really helps the jazz scene.
It's sort of the more the merrier.
Yeah,
you're out there loving music, it's all going to call your name.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. That's a very, very wonderful point you make. Okay, Eric, speaking of that, your music and musical spirit, they've kept jazz alive and well in our area for so many years. Bottom line, what's your advice to performers and music lovers of all ages, maybe all sorts of genres that they do support, for continuing the well-being of music in that direction?
Well, that's a good question. I guess I would start by saying, do what you love and do it as well as you can do it. The only solution, really, is to keep practicing. That's fundamentally the solution. And after that, the next solution is to try to translate what you've practiced and find ways to communicate it to others. The more you can connect with people, the more you can have a career in this music and in any music and any art, really, and be part of that process. On the other hand, music lovers can support the musicians that are out there. There's so many great music acts that may or may not be on people's radar. One way to find it is right here, obviously, WBOI, Meet the Music, and the jazz shows on the weekends and through the week, I think really help. I always say, if you like something you hear, find out who that person is, look them up on the internet, and then check out more of it and listen to more of it. And you'll find that most of the musicians here are influenced heavily by somebody you love to hear on the radio. And you'll hear something in what they're doing. And the more you make those kinds of connections, the richer your experience can be.
Wonderful words of advice from Eric Clancy, who is a Fort Wayne musician and educator and this month's featured artist at the Big Apple Jazz Club's Second Sunday series. Eric, thank you so much for joining us, and keep up that cool.
Thanks, Julia. It was a pleasure.
That was WBOI's Julia Meek speaking with Eric Clancy, Fort Wayne, Indiana pianist and music teacher. The music you're hearing is an unnamed original by Clancy from a 2013 performance on WBOI's Meet the Music. You can hear more of Julia Meek's arts and culture coverage on 89.1 WBOI.